I just want you to be ready to be challenged today with Scripture, okay? Not my ideas, His ideas, and I just want you to be ready. Give God a chance to open your mind. You know, revelation is the only way to understand Scripture. That's what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. So I'm going to look at some scriptures today. I'm going to begin something today. I'm going to begin talking about, of course we did, Jesus paid it all, that's right. But we're going to begin talking about today is our identity in Christ. Like your identity, not by your family, not by your nationality, not by your nation, your identity in Jesus Christ. And guys, if you allow the Holy Spirit to open your mind and to see this, this will change your life. And we're going to just jump right in because I have a lot of scriptures today. So the first scripture I want to look at, and this is a very familiar scripture if you read the Bible at all, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, Paul said this, just as He chose us in Him. Now you got to notice every word because it's all important. He chose us. Paul was speaking to humanity. He chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now, you know what's going to be crazy is, we're going to talk about that word more some later on, but before anything was, God knew you. God had you in His heart. He had your purpose, your destiny, your life, your healing, your deliverance, your provision, everything in His heart. He valued you before you were ever born. And because He's eternal. And so before anything happened in the world, He chose us. And guess what He chose you for? That you should be holy. Okay, now don't just jump over that thought. So I think that's what we do a lot. Don't just, you know what holy is? Holy is set apart for God. Holy. I am special for Him. When did He choose you to be holy? Before the foundation of the world. He chose you to be holy. So guess what that means? And He didn't say, I'm going to give you the chance to be holy. It says that we should be holy. And you're not just holy, you're without blame. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So before the world was ever laid, God had stood up in heaven. He's like, you know, I think I'm going to make you guys holy. I'm going to make you without blame. Now, guys, I want you to encounter this. This is going to change your life. Because most of us go around feeling guilty, having shame, waiting for the hammer to fall because of something we did or didn't do. Most of us live with guilt and shame, but the Scripture says God made you holy and you're without blame before Him. And He did it in love, right? Because we know love is the foundation of everything with God. And so then He says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, I wrote some things down. We were found in Jesus before we became slaves to the way that the Diablo thinks. You know how Satan thinks? He thinks in guilt. He thinks in condemnation. He thinks in shame. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. I found you holy before your mind began to convince you that you weren't. Before your mind starts telling you that you're not enough, I found you holy in Him. And we know that's true. And so not only were you holy, He adopted you as sons. Well, you know what it means when you're a son? It means you're an heir. Like God Himself adopted you as sons through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're a son, then you're an heir. You have an inheritance coming. And the inheritance involves everything. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. It's provision. Like He already has provided provision for you. It's physical health. It's mental health. It's emotional health. It's stability. It's a peaceful mind. He didn't give us a, he gave us a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. You see, these things are yours. And I want to talk about that more. And he did this because it makes him happy. Makes him happy. Well, you know how we're taught? We're taught we have to do something to make him happy. And he says that he did something to us that makes him happy. It makes him happy that you're his son. It makes him happy that you are his daughter. It makes him happy that you're holy and you're set apart and that you have no fault. When he looks at you, he doesn't see faults. He does what we do. You know, a lot of you do this. I see this in your eyes. When you see the small children that we have a lot of here, right? When you see them, you see potential. You see wonder. You feel love. That's what, whether they're behaving or misbehaving, it doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, yeah. You know, Emsley wanted my bottle of water, and I wouldn't let her have it. And she didn't throw a fit. That's a big deal. I'm a grandpa. I understand fit throwing, right? Tell them no, and they sometimes throw fits. She didn't. She was good. So when I look at Emsley, I see more than just her behavior right now. I see potential. And so that's what Jesus did for us. We were in Christ. And you should think about that term. What does that mean, in Christ? In Christ, when you look at Jesus, Jesus is God's mind made up about you. And I'm going to prove that to you with Scripture. When you look at Jesus, you see who God believes you are. That's who God sees when he looks at you. And, you know, we aren't defined by our behavior, by our lack, by our mistakes, by our past. We're defined by him. By him. Guys, I want to challenge you this morning, and over the next few times that I preach, we're going after this hard, because I believe most of us struggle. We do the same struggle that Jesus had, we have. The devil's saying, if you are good enough, then he loves you. If you do behave, then you'll be blessed. If you do, and most of us live in that world, and then it becomes about our behavior. And I don't want you to think about this. Here's what I want you to believe. I want you to believe it's about him, the guy we've been singing about. He made you holy. He adopted you as a son. He brought you into his family. He provided everything for you. It's all in him. And that's what we want to learn and we want to actually address. And I'm going to even show you why. Here's another verse for you, Genesis 1:26. Isn't this a great verse? I think it'd be great if we believed it. Me too, okay? I'm not just talking to you. I want to believe this because I believe the Scripture's true. I don't want to live by my own thinking or my own judgments. And I sure don't want to live by your judgments. I mean, y'all probably think more better about me than I do, honestly. No, I sure don't want to think by Satan's judgments. What does Genesis 1:26 say? Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God's blueprint, when he made you, was his son. You were made in his image. The core of who you are was made in Jesus' image. That was the picture, that was the blueprint that God created humanity in. And that's a huge thing to think about. Colossians 3:10. And we know this happens, because I want to make a big deal about this today. Have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know what needs to happen when you begin to follow the Lord? You're allowing your mind to be transformed into the way he thinks, the way he sees. You know how he sees? That's what we're going to be talking about. He sees you differently than you see you. He sees value and worth. He sees a future. He sees a child, a son and a daughter that he loves. And I think that's, you know, how we live. We need our thoughts renewed in the knowledge of who we are, according to His image. You see, we know we need our minds transformed. We don't realize we need our minds transformed so that we think like He thinks. Guess how He thinks about you? He thinks you're holy. He thinks you're a son. He thinks you're a daughter. That's how He thinks about you. He thinks about you the way we think about the babies. Well, I mean, some of you parents are sort of tired of your babies, but I'm telling you, they'll be get better. It's like, it's okay to be impatient a little bit, but it'll be better. You love your kids, and we love them, and Jesus loves you. He doesn't look at you and define you by your behavior. He defines you about what He did. And that's what we're going to look at in these next few weeks when I talk about this. So, this is going to be hard. Is it okay if I touch religious stuff for the next few weeks when I'm talking? I don't mean the body of Christ. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ is amazing. Religion is a spirit. It's a spirit that crucified the Lord. It's what Judaism was. It was a religion. It wasn't the body of Christ. And guys, I want to challenge some of our thinking this week. Like, this is very, very, very challenging, right? I want to say something I wrote down. I thought of this. We believe that our goal is to spend the rest of our lives learning about Jesus. And we sang very true, very wonderful songs about Him during worship, about how wonderful He is, and it's all Jesus. But we believe that that's all we're supposed to ever talk about. But do you know that when you read this scripture, 1 John 4:17, and there's many, many more scriptures. We can't go over them all. You guys aren't that patient. Y'all wouldn't do it. 1 John 4:17, that's a short verse. Do you believe this? When you're reading it, love has been perfected among us. Like Jesus, love Himself was perfected among us. And look what He says, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Well, none of us are going to. No. We even say that to each other sometimes when we're talking. Listen, I'm not Jesus. I messed up. Well, that isn't what this says. This says, as He is, so are we in this world because of what He did. And we keep judging ourselves by what we do. It's time to get our eyes off of us and put our eyes on Him and agree with Him what He says about us. He says you're holy. I'm holy because of what He did. And I think I'm not holy because of what I did last night. I was watching a movie and this woman's body became unclothed and I couldn't get the dumb thing to turn off. You ever get stuck in that dilemma? It's like, okay, I'm turning it off. I'm turning it off. I finally had to do it. I had to turn the TV off. I think the devil was in that remote control. Y'all get there. So I'm not holy because I looked at something last night. No, you were never holy because of what you did ever. You're holy because of what Jesus did. It's all about Him. Yeah, but I messed up. Yeah, you did. You did. And your transformation is also dependent upon Him. You know what changes your life? Is when you start believing in what He did. Then your life will line up. Your life will line up. Your behavior, your actions, what you do will line up whenever you believe what Jesus did. So we get, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, I'm just like Jesus. See, that just blows our minds. We're like, no, I am not just like Jesus. Well, by faith, I can say that because Jesus said it. The Bible said, as He is, so are we in this world. you and I are discovering who we are. We're discovering what's already been done. God's reminding us of what Jesus did for us. And yeah, that's good. So we did. We need to focus on what Jesus did, not on our progress. Because you're going to see a scripture in a minute. He's in charge of where your progression is. He's in charge of your progress. You're not even in charge of that. So I love that verse. Now, this is a good one. I have several verses I just want to go through. You know, our lives are not compromised by the contradictions we see and experience. Well, if I'm holy, why am I acting like this? Why do I think this way? Why did I slap somebody yesterday? I slapped them so hard, I slapped them naked. It was really bad. Listen, why do I do that, God? If I'm holy, that's a contradiction. Well, listen, contradictions, are you going to believe the contradictions or are you going to believe Him? Yeah, but what about the contradictions? Listen, everything is going to line up with His purpose and will. And yes, right now we're still in process. We're progressing from one glory to another glory. Like, you know what? Yesterday, maybe you couldn't help but drink. But you know what? Maybe tomorrow, as the Spirit of God rises up inside of you, and as you believe what Jesus did in you, the more you believe that, maybe you won't get drunk tomorrow. You're in process. You're progressing. Maybe you've been saying four-letter words like every time you turn around, and now you're just going to say it once a day. That's progress. It's, you know why that's happening while you're progressing? It's because that's who you really are. Listen, Jesus believes that, and I love this. There's liberty. There's liberty in the Lord. In verse 18, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When you see Jesus, you see you, because you were created in His image. And the devil's going to put 1,000 thoughts in your head. They're going to disagree with what the truth is, and you get to choose what to believe. You choose what you're going to believe. And it's very, very hard for us to do that. You know, then he says, we're being transformed, okay? We have been born again. We have a new body. We have a new life. We've been adopted into this family, but we're still on earth being transformed. Transformed into what? The same image. You're being transformed into the same exact image as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you go from one glory to the next glory, to the next glory. And then Paul in Colossians said, Christ in you is His hope of glory. As you're being transformed, as I'm being transformed, it brings glory to God because it's not us, it's Him. Not of works, lest we'll be boasting. Guys, that's really what's going on. But we have these. Our lives are based on the life of Christ, not on what we see. We are people who live by faith. And man, believe me, it takes a lot of faith for me to look at some of you and say, this is true. My God, you haven't seen them when I see them. That was a joke. I'm not talking about Tracy. I'm talking about other people like Josh Krillin. But listen, it takes faith for me to believe this about myself and about you. I'm like, God, wait a second. I don't know if Paul even knew what he was talking about. What? No, he knew what he was talking about when he said who you are, and it's a big deal. So you look at Christ, and this is going to blow your mind. When you look at Christ, do you see yourself? See, I spent years and years and decades studying Scripture, studying and meditating on Christ, never realizing that that was me. That was me. Like, that's me. Okay, I want to believe that. And, I'm going to show you another verse. You got to love this. I've used this verse because it's such a big verse. It's a short verse, but it's so big. It's so big. Guys, you need to memorize this verse, get it tattooed on your forehead. You have to do it in that reverse thing, like you when you look in a mirror, you'll be able to read it. Nobody else will be able to read it. They'll think you're speaking in tongues or something. I don't know. But no, God is working in you. God is working in you, in me, in you, everyone sitting in this room. He's working in you, giving you the desire or the will. He's putting His will in us. He's putting His desire in us. Why do you want to be honest now? Well, something changed in you. It's Him. He's giving you the desire to be honest. And when He gives you the desire to do something, He gives you the power, the dunamis, the supernatural dynamite power of God. Maybe your whole life you've been just messed up. And all of a sudden, God's giving you a desire to not be messed up anymore. And you know what? You think you got to work to get it? No, you don't. You trust Him and you believe in Him, and He gives you the power to do it. And I've told you this before, and y'all can't get it. You can't believe it. I deal with a lot of addicts, a lot of alcoholics and a lot of addicts to all kinds of stuff for 25 years, 30 years. You know, I've never told one person ever to quit drinking. I've never told one person ever to quit doing drugs, not once, because it does no good to tell them what they already know. It doesn't help whenever they have a revelation from God that that's not who they are. Guess who? And they have a will. Their will comes from God. God gives them a desire not to do drugs anymore, and then He gives them the power to not do it. So it doesn't do any good for us to force it. You can't force it. But when He does it, their lives change. And we've seen hundreds of people delivered and set free without ever telling one to stop. I mean, I'll tell somebody to, killing people, that's not good. Don't do that. I'm going to call the police right now because maybe I'm next. I don't want to be next. But that's just the truth. So when you look at Christ, when you read Scripture and you look at Christ, you see you. When I tell you I want you to know who you are in Christ, I'm saying I want you to know your true identity. That's who you really are. It's not what the world says. It's not what society says. It's not what the television says. What Jesus says is who you really are. And when I say it's God's will for us to come to this, you know, it all started in the Garden of Eden. Satan deceived Eve and told her, you'll be better if you do this. God will love you better if you do this. And Eve believed that lie, and she tried to become better in her own strength. And Satan became the god of this world. You know, the same thing is happening today in our lives. The enemy wants to tell us that we are who we are is not enough. Right? You're not good enough. You don't do enough. You don't know enough. You're not smart enough. You're not disciplined enough. You don't have the right family. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong height. You're the wrong weight. And you're not. And that's the same lie Satan did to God's Son. He told God's Son, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, if you are, then do this and do that. If you are, Satan, Jesus never fell for the lie. And you and I, we believe that. God's will, and it was, you know, one little thought put the entire world in bondage to Satan. Eve had this thought put in her mind by Satan. Eve, you're not good enough for him. And when she believed that, everything in this world went to pot. You see, the Satan's doing the same thing to you right now and me. And I struggle with it too. I'm really excited. In a couple weeks, I'm going to talk to you about something I can't get my mind around. And I got it. It's in my heart, but I can't say it. And I started Friday morning. I woke up real early. So this scripture is in my mind. And I'm like, this word. And I'm like, God, I want to do this. And so I spent over 2 hours in my computer studying this word. And at the end of 2 hours, I felt horrible. And I couldn't figure out why I felt so bad. I'm like, I don't ever want to preach again. I don't want to talk. I can't do this. I felt all these condemning thoughts, right? And so finally, it took a couple hours, maybe 3 hours. I stopped and I said, wait a second. I said, God, what's wrong? And he told me, he said, you don't think you can communicate well. I'm like, where did I get that idea? He said, well, where do you think you got it? I'm like, dang, that's the devil. So I quit right then. I said, you know what? I'm stopping. I'm not doing this anymore. Then I felt fine. Well, Alan, we don't go by our feelings. Yes, you go by the peace, love, joy, self-control. Yeah, you do go by your feelings. That tells you you're in alignment with God. And guys, you do the same thing. We judge ourselves constantly. And that's what Eve did. She judged herself. So here's God's will is for you to know who you are in Christ. In Christ. What Jesus did. That's God's will. He doesn't want religion to tell us who we are. He doesn't want our sin to tell us who we are. He doesn't want shame or guilt to tell us who we are. The truth is, who we are has always been in His heart before the world was founded. It was in His heart who you are. And He created you in His image. And that changed for us. Remember in Genesis 2:25, in the Garden of Eden, just Adam and Eve were there at this time. And Genesis 2:25, it says, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They didn't see anything wrong with themselves. And then, just one chapter later, right, Satan tells Eve a lie and tells her she can, you know, for you to be better than you are, that means there must be something wrong with you. Eve believed that. There's something missing, something I'm not. And Satan told her that. And so then in Genesis 3:7, you read this, the eyes of both of them were open, Adam and Eve, and they knew that they were naked. They were ashamed, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They hid themselves from God. You know why they did, right? Because they believed that because of what they did, God was going to see them differently than He saw them before they did it. That's shame and guilt. And you know, they believed God was looking at them differently. Now, God didn't look at them any differently. He told us in the verse we read earlier that he made them holy. He made us holy before Adam and Eve sinned. He made us holy. So He didn't change how He looks at them. He never changed. He went looking for them. Adam, Eve, where are you? And they were hiding. You know why they were hiding? The same reason we hide. You know why you're wearing, this is not funny. Me and you are both wearing clothes because we know how you're going to think about me if I'm naked. I'm like stuttering because I can't even hardly say it. Like we all know we're going to be judged. You see, the way they thought about themselves changed. The way God thought about them never changed. He loved them. He loved them. Before they sinned, He loved them. After they sinned, He gave His Son because of their problem. And guys, you and I have that same problem. God didn't change. He never changed the way he thought about them. We changed how we thought about ourselves. We began to think about ourselves the way that Satan said we were, as less than. Isn't that crazy? And every one of us to this day, we still struggle with that. The enemy's still whispering all the time. I mean, with me, I'm studying Scripture and seeing this unbelievable revelation that I can't say in English. And then the first thing, this thought comes to my head, see, you can't do it. You can't explain this. Who gave me that thought? sure wasn't the Holy Spirit. It's the same one that gives you those same kind of thoughts. I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good dad. I'm not worthy of this job. I'm going to get caught. They're going to see the bad things I've done, and they're going to look at me, and I'm being punished, and I'm waiting for that hammer to fall. God's never changed. So when God looks at us, he looks at us by his design. We were created according to the blueprint of him. We were made in his image and likeness. That's who God sees. And what I want to talk about in the next few weeks, we're going to hit it hard. The truth is, Jesus, he was with God in the beginning. So answer this question. I want to bring you back to this. This is very foundational stuff. What do you have to do to experience salvation? Right? What did you have to do to experience the gift of eternal life and salvation that came because of Jesus? You know what you had to do? I want to make it real simple because we're going to hit this a lot. You had to hear about it, and then you had to believe. That was it, right? For by grace you are saved through faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. And when I heard about it, when I recognized, when I had revelation of what Jesus did and who he was and the sacrifice he made, when I realized that, when that revelation came into my heart, then all I did was believe, because it's for by grace you are saved. It's a free gift, not of works. I didn't have to do anything, lest any man should boast. Salvation by grace through faith. Then you know what the devil did to you and me? We go from that, and we experience that. Probably everyone in here has experienced that. We go from living that way and sin. My life changed when I got saved. When I recognized Jesus, I stepped into what he had already done 2,000 years ago. I stepped into it, and my life changed. And then how come we pick up the plow and start pulling it ourselves after that? You see, that's what we do. Then we try to work our way into his favor and blessing. We try to work our way by doing things and not doing things. And I feel guilt because of what I did, and I feel shame because of what I'm not doing. You see, it's how does that change? Is a free gift. Now, what I'm trying to do with this, looking at who you are in Christ, is to unveil that reality into the rest of your life. You want to know how to live the same way we got saved? Never changes. Never changes. And I just want you to see that what Jesus did, the magnificence, the amazing things that he did for us, determines who we are. Now, we get saved that way, and then we think we have to do something to become that. So if in recognizing that Jesus made you holy is the same as recognizing that he paid for your sin, when I see that and I believe, then his power makes me what he's already made me on this earth. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not doing the things I used to do. I'm not as mean as I used to be. I'm not as impatient as I was. I only drink 6-pack. I don't drink the whole keg anymore. That wasn't a good illustration. I don't even know what anyway, you get a 6-pack and you also can get bigger things. Whatever that is. I don't know what it is. So there's two things. When you come to faith about his blood and salvation, your life changes. When you come to faith about who He says you are, and you start believing in what He did instead of trying to earn it, you see the difference? I'm going to, through the sweat of my brow, I'm going to become kind. I'm going to become patient. I'm going to become loving. I'm going to do this, and it's going to be by my strength, the same way I got saved. Well, guess what? You didn't get saved that way. You don't live that way either. But we found it very convenient to manipulate people into doing things by telling them they had to do things to become righteous. You have to do things to become holy. You have to do something in order to earn the favor of God. That is religion. It has nothing to do with Jesus. What I'm trying to do is to wake us up to the reality that, you know what? If you do these two things, your life will be changed. I know what I'm saying. I know that's a pretty bold statement. If you do these two things, recognize Jesus, what He did, His blood as your Savior, and recognize what He did, who He says you are, that He accomplished that, and you come to faith about that, that'll become a reality in your life. Those two things will change your life forever. And you don't have to wait to get to heaven before your life's changed. Maybe your life's not changed now because you've been living in guilt and condemnation and manipulation and religion your whole life, trying to be good enough. And the thing is, we can't ever get there. It's only Him. So when we step into that reality, we become new creations. And then I see us doing this a lot, begging for God's glory to come. God, we just want Your glory to come. We just want You to come, God. I want Your glory to come through me. And we beg God, and we beg God, and we beg God. And the whole time He said, I've already done it. I just want you to believe. Just believe that everything in this scripture is true. Everything it says about Jesus is also true about you. You know why? Because you're in Him. You died with Him. You rose with Him. You're in Him. Jesus said, guys, I'm going away. And His prayer in John, He said, guys, I pray that you guys would all become one, the same way that me and the Father are one, and that you would be in me the same way that I'm in the Father. You know that when Jesus prays something, it happens. Like, you know who you're in right now? You're in Christ. Well, I'm not acting like it. Well, it's because you don't believe it. Stop trying and start believing, and you'll see a transformation, and then He gets the glory and not you. It's not of works so that no human can boast, man or woman. Don't be proud. It's all Him. I know you're nice. Well, you're nice because of Him. I know you give. I know you give and help people because of Him. I know you have a work ethic and you take care of your family. Yeah, hello, Jesus. He did it too. And guess who you are? You're the Christ on earth today. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of our flesh, bringing glory to Him and bringing His kingdom to earth. So I love this. And I think about it practically. What does that mean? Okay, I want to wrap this up. I've gone long, but this is so important. Practically, what's it look like, Alan? Here's what it looks like. You begin to respond to life from who you are in Christ, and not how things look or how you feel in the moment. It changes everything. You begin to respond from who you are, not who you're trying to become. So, somebody irritates me, and they do something that hurts me, and I have that thought. I want revenge. I want to make them look like an idiot. I want to prove that I'm right and they're wrong. And then I say, whoa, wait a second. That's not who I am. I'm not full of revenge. I'm not mean. I don't want to make other people look bad. That's not me. That's not me. I know who I am. That isn't me. I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. When I start, I go back, wait a second. Wait, that's not me. And then I stop and I seek the Lord, and all of a sudden my heart begins to change. Now I have compassion for the person who just gave me the evil eye on the highway, you know. All of a sudden I don't evil eye them back. I don't want to make them look bad. I don't want to. You know, it's like, I do not, you got to love this. What I'm talking about is living by grace instead of by the law. Living by grace instead of by self-control and self-effort and the flesh. I don't want revenge. I don't repay evil with evil. I repay evil with love. Well, that's not who you are. I know that's who Jesus is, and he's in me. And now I don't want to do that anymore. I could tell y'all revenge stories that would just curl your hair, those of you that have hair. But it's like, I don't want to. I don't like revenge stories. You know, if someone wrongs you, that's not who you are. Revenge, payback, unforgiveness, judgment, slandering other people, anger, pouting, exalting yourself above them. That's not who I am. What do you mean? Who are you? I'm a son of God. I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm loving, I'm kind. You know, I love Ephesians 4:32. Paul said this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He's not telling you to do that so you can become something. He's telling you that that's who you are. And when you begin to believe that's who you are, you'll be changed. And it'll come out of you like rivers of living water. Patience, you can't stop being patient. You can't stop being kind. You can't stop loving people. You can't stop embracing people. You don't want revenge. You don't want to hurt other people because of him. And it happens by faith, and it's called grace. You know, I want you to develop believing that will create a different cadence in your life. And it's better. A cadence, that's what, it's one of those business words I learned from Daniel. It's a rhythm. Like, this is my normal life right here. And God, I want to give you some practical ways to see this happen in your life. Now, when life comes, when stuff happens, when people do things, now I want to do three things. I want to remember. I want to develop this in my brain. I want my mind to be transformed. When things happen, first thing I want to do is I want to remember who I am in Christ. Now, to do that, you may need to read the Bible. I'm sorry if you don't read. They've got Bible on tape. Whatever you got to do, read the Bible and see who Jesus says you are. When you see Jesus, you see you. That's who you really are. That's who you are. That's what he said. You're made in his image. You see Jesus, you see you. First thing I do when somebody irritates me is I want to remember who I am. Okay, God. And I don't just want to remember. I want to believe that's me. Even if it doesn't look like it today. And guys, we're still growing. Some of you are going to look not like Jesus at all this afternoon sometime. Like you may be looking not like Jesus right now. You may be irritated like the devil towards me. And I'm sorry you're irritated. Love, joy, peace is better than irritation. But you can do what you want. But believe. So remember who you are, first step. Second step is to believe what you remembered. This is who you are. I'm going to believe it, God. I want to believe it. And then, guess what will happen? You will respond out of him. Your response will start to change. You won't lash out. You won't talk back. You won't wish bad on people. You won't steal. You won't murder. You won't drink till you're falling down drunk. Something inside of you will change when you start believing who you are. First thing you got to do, so I want that cadence to happen. First thing you did is you remember who you are. And you can even say this, when you are tempted to say something you shouldn't say or to do something you know you shouldn't do, you remember, that's not who I am. That's not me. I'm not that person. I am not that person anymore. I believe in who Jesus says I am. And so you remember who you are. You remember that's not who I am. And when Paul said our lives are transformed by the renewing of our minds, this is what he was talking about. We just never knew what he meant. He meant this. You renew your mind by believing what Jesus did for you and who he says you are. And so you'll develop a new way of thinking. You know, this is life. This will change your life. These two things will change your life. Jesus, giving him, accepting his free gift of salvation, will change your life. The second thing that'll change your life is accepting his free gift of who you are. That'll change your life. And you know what? I sort of get sick of the advertising and the media in our world because it tempts us to do something. Everything in the world says it'll change your life. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, I got a water bottle here. I took the name of it off. But if you ever watch water advertisements, they tell you that if you'll drink this brand of water, it'll change your life. I'm like, it's water. It's just water. And then they're going to say, and if you wear this shirt, you'll be successful and people will look up to you. And if you wear these shoes and you drive this car, and if you do this hobby, if your children do that, they promise you so much stuff. And it's all just bogus. It's not true. It's not true. And then you know what happens to us? Hopefully y'all aren't where I'm at. I get jaded. I'm like, I see an advertisement, like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, I'm almost 70 years old, so I'm like, I've seen all the advertisements, and none of them ever have followed through on what they promised. Ever. There is one that is true. Jesus follows through. You want to have life? Then you start thinking this way. Remember who you are. Believe it. And then your response will come from him. I think this morning we're going to have a ministry time, and you know, maybe you need to hear who Jesus says you are. Maybe today, you know, you need to hear, who does Jesus say you are? You know who, you know what the world says, you know what you think. Maybe you need to hear what he says. And I'm going to tell you, when you hear what he says and you believe it, it'll change your life. Every time. Okay? So let's all stand up. I love that. Rick Alter has a better saying. He says, remember, believe, and conceive. That's actually a better way to say it, Rick.
Believe, receive, conceive.
Yeah, he says it that way. All I remember was conceive. So we want to pray with you this morning. These guys would love to tell you, to share with you, to reveal, help you see who Jesus thinks you are. Okay? So, Father, I just ask today that we'd be bold and you'd give us the courage to hear your words this morning. And God, asks that each one of us that are here right now that need to hear, that you planned on being here. So just listen to the Lord right now in your heart. I think he's calling some of us, that he wants to show you who he believes you are. So when we dismiss this morning, if you would like to come forward, and these guys would love to pray with you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your smiling faces. And don't forget your children. Amen. God bless you.